Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in on Sabres Live. A tough sports weekend from the hockey and football standpoint. So
yeah, that wasn't good. You know, so I mean, I know that there's a lot of fans that are not happy with the way the last couple of weeks have gone, really, because you look at the Bills losing to the Patriots and then again last night and the Sabres starting 0-3. So, Duffer, you know what we're going to start the show with?
Puppies?
Puppies, yes, puppies. Because you know what? Nobody can get mad at puppies. And I know people are going to say, where the heck? What's this chick? We want you guys to talk about hockey. We will talk about hockey, but I want to put
Is
a smile on your face.
Is this what the chair's for? Are we having puppies?
No, we don't have. We're going to have Alex Lyon later in the show, so we'll talk to him about it. But so, yes, I just want to give you guys that there's other things in life, too. So my daughter got a puppy. His name is Knox. He's an Australian Shepherd. And last night, before the Bills game, I was still, you know, hopeful for the Bills game. Maybe I didn't feel the same way after the Bills game. But he had his first puppy kindergarten class, and I joined along because I'm like, I'll take videos. I'll take some, you know, some pictures. And he was a superstar. And along with his five other dogs in the class. They were great. And he's learning to sit and stay and touch and focus and all of that stuff. And it was awesome. So, listen, just to put a smile on your face to start the show. I know it's been a bit tough the last week and a half here, but who can get mad at puppies, especially at this Australian Shepherd Knox that we're showing on the screen?
Was this
right
class
now.
One?
This class one.
How many?
I believe it's 6 weeks.
Okay.
It's 6 Mondays.
Amazing.
So they even
Thank
came
you.
With a,
that already makes me feel
Pat Smart
much
and
better.
Isora, you guys are awesome. And I know that we, like, listen, there's other places. Richard Schmelick was a great dog trainer, and he still has his place. And, you know, we do a bunch of things with, the Western New York Heroes, and they're positive for, what is it called again?
Positive for Heroes, I believe.
Yeah, Positive for Heroes, I think that's what it is. Anyway, they do a great job. But, you know, we just went to our little local place, and he was a star, so that was awesome. It was a little, like, a golden retriever dog.
Yeah.
Was he he was a golden retriever, 12 weeks old.
Yeah. Oh,
Teddy.
My gosh.
He was literally the size of my laptop computer. And he was unbelievable. Then he got the zoomies during the class and started to run around. It was awesome. But anyway, yes. So puppies. That's how we start the show with on Tuesday.
So what would my therapy be in this case?
Oh, boy.
Careful how you
music
yes.
your therapy.
Yes, I'm going to a concert tonight. To
okay,
try
good.
To,
good. So go. I was trying to say, like, now some people would be food, friends, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
yeah,
no,
I don't have
music.
Any friends, so that wasn't an option. Kathleen Edwards at Babeville tonight, so looking forward to that. All right, on to the matter at hand.
Yeah, you're right. It was positive for Heroes. I just checked it out quickly.
Hey, I've been here a while. I tend to absorb things.
Great job.
Big community guy here.
Big community guy. Well, we need more community support.
Well, yes and no. A community can always use more support, no matter how great it is.
Yes.
The hockey community is just feeling a little unsettled after the opening losses to start the season here. The most recent, yesterday afternoon against the Colorado Avalanche. And, Marty, if we're breaking it down to one thing that needs to be fixed right away.
Power play.
Agreed.
And it was Rasmus Dahlin was asked like multiple times in the post game, and he said, what do you have to do to change the power play? And his answer was over and over and over again, have a plan, have a plan, have a plan. I don't know if there's a plan or no plan, but it doesn't show it on the ice. Why? Because they're never set up. Like, I usually write down power play one, mm-hmm. who is in which position. Mm-hmm. And yesterday when it started, then all of a sudden I see Tage Thompson kind of drifting over to the bumper position a little bit, mm-hmm. but they were never set. Mm-hmm. There was never a time where it's like, oh, the puck is on the half wall, we're set, we're in our position. I'm going back to Dahlin, I'm coming back, I'm going down low. They were never set, so I can't see the plan, the no plan, what's going on. I think that was the biggest issue with the power play.
Well, hold the thought because our guest is arriving.
And oh, yes, absolutely.
We want you to bid now on game-worn jerseys from the 24-25 season. Of course, proceeds from all these auctions that we, you know, are able to present through the course of a season benefit the Buffalo Sabres Foundation. You can scan the QR code or visit sabres.com/auction today. And, of course, the auction closes on October 19th. So get in now to bid on game-worn jerseys from the 24-25 season. Of course, the 25-26 season continues tomorrow right here at KeyBank Center as Ottawa comes in and Buffalo looks to square up against an old division rival, and we'll look forward to our game night coverage then. Alex Lyon has joined us here on Sabres Live. It's great to see you. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good.
He was wearing the black and red gear this morning, breaking it in. So,
yeah.
How did that? Do you like changing gears like that, or do you like one set and stick with one?
I like new gear. I've got, you know, the older you get, the more gear you get, so you get used to it.
Wow. It was the opposite for me. It was like, now you know what? You're too old. You just keep the same gear.
I like it. I like the pop that it gives. I've been wearing all white for like 5 years. So for me, I just like that. I like the feel of it. I like the way that it looks. But this is like my first venture off the beaten path, you know. So I'm sweating through my shirt right now just thinking about it, but
it's black and a little red in it, Duffer, so you know, so it's the dark gear, so
yes. And it's a goalie thing, you know. I don't know if
yeah.
maybe you were maybe
oh yeah
your goalie.
He catches
yeah.
the wrong way though,
the
so
right,
just
yeah. the right way,
so you understand what I'm saying, like,
oh yeah,
like that, just like mentally you gotta like wrap your head around it.
100%.
So that's why I had to
even seeing the puck around your feet and whatever, it's different when you have a darker gear compared to the white gear. The look. You know, I used to always put the gear on and look in the mirror. How does it look?
Have to.
Do you do
oh,
that too?
Oh, you have to. You have to. Well, so early in my career, I loved color. Like when I was at Yale, I loved doing blue and white. My first few years, I was like mixing it up. And then I switched to all white. And like six, seven people, like my goalie coach would come up and be like, oh my God, you must have put in so much work this summer. Like, you're an NHL goalie now.
You look bigger.
You look way bigger and, like, boxier. And so, as somebody who's 6 feet tall, like, I like to think that I present bigger than six yeah. feet tall when I'm in the net.
This is Marty every day.
That's me.
He talks
That's
about like, it all the time, and, about presentation.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I worked my butt off all summer.
Yeah.
And you're like, I didn't do anything different. But it seems the gear works. So,
right.
Yeah.
No, I think it is true, though. I mean, like, you even... Sorry, I don't know if this is the path we want to go down, but...
Oh, it is. Oh, totally.
Any path is a
okay.
good path today. We start the show with puppies, just so you know.
That's
just
perfect.
Positive.
That's so. Right up my alley. No, but like you watched Shesterkin the other night, and it's like you would never... This guy, he's probably six feet one, you
yeah.
know, and
mm-hmm.
and he presents so big, just
yeah.
like the way that he plays. And so I try to emulate that, and I think, you know, sometimes you see really big guys, and they just don't like feel big. They don't
mm-hmm.
play big, so
yeah.
I always try to think about
well,
that.
Well, what do you see in a guy like Saros?
I actually think that he presents a little smaller,
mm-hmm.
And I've only known this through secondhand, but from what I understand, he's a physical like freak, and
yeah.
he's so strong, and you can tell by the way that he plays, like with such low hips, that he's got just incredible lower body strength, and that's just something that I was not necessarily blessed with. So I do try to like take a lot from him just because of his size, but. I think like a lot of NHL goalies, he's kind of an anomaly. too, a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, there is the freaks out there, and Shesterkin is one of them. And for a few years, it was Vasilevsky who can do things like catch Baena's back, and you're like, how did he do that, right? And Saros is one of them too. Now, let me go back to, you mentioned Yale, your time at Yale. Like, what was that like, the decision to go there? Because, you know, the people would say, oh, you go to Yale, you go to Harvard, you go to Brown. It must be a smart guy or whatever. But at the same time, you know, not saying you're not, you're a smart guy, you present well, but that's a big statement to say, I'm going to go play hockey at Yale and have to do with the studies and everything.
Right. I mean, it's both ends where it's like, I just wasn't a highly recruited enough player to be. I'm from Minnesota. I watched the Gophers every Friday and Saturday night. Keith Ballard. I don't know if you guys remember him.
Of course. Drafted here.
Right here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
And then he was shipped to Colorado, right? Is that the trade? Or
maybe Arizona.
Arizona. You're right. Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love the Gophers. I love North Dakota. I love Wisconsin, Denver. But that just wasn't in the cards for me. And so my parents both were like academics all the way. That's going to carry you through, which now I'm so appreciative of that, you know. But for me, it was the best of both worlds. They were getting pretty good at hockey, and obviously the academic side was good. And then I got there, and I realized that I could only read at like a 10th grade reading level. And so I started focusing on hockey, and here I am today.
Did you major in anything?
It was political science. Yep. I don't have my degree. I have like 6 credits left. I actually have to be on campus to write my thesis paper, which is a big hurdle for me. But my dad went to Yale. My grandpa went to Yale. So there's a bit of a history and a lineage there. But so it's a huge priority in my life to get my college degree. But at the same time, like, you just keep playing. You sign in college, and then you're like, okay, let's see where this goes. Keep playing, keep making money, make better money, you know, and then you just end up 10 years later, you're still kicking.
You mentioned you were reading at a 10th grade level. You making a joke?
No,
out
that
of it?
Was sarcasm.
That was sarcasm. Like, you got there and you realize, like, oh my gosh, these people are smart.
Yeah, I think, you know, going to Yale, like, you do, it just made me very humble at like my overall intelligence. And like, I think that I'm a fairly, you know, like you said, like I can present really well. Yeah. That comes from my parents. We did academics so hard growing up, but then you get there and you're like, oh my God, like I'm just nowhere near these people. I mean, and the people that go there are the people that are like, I want to strive to help solve world hunger, and like, so, and I'm like, I'm just trying to like survive day to day, you know.
There's a piece of vulcanized rubber that's being shot at me by like 9 miles an hour, and I stand in front of it. That's what I do.
Exactly. And it just puts so many things in perspective. And I think one of the best things that happened to me at Yale was, it was just like, all right, I'm really not the smartest guy in the room. You know, when you're 18 years old, everybody thinks that, right? Like, everybody thinks they're the smartest person in the room. But I think that was a very humbling experience for me, and I still think about that a lot, where it's just like, just take it down a notch.
What was hockey like in Minnesota? And I'm asking because my son and I went to a summer camp for the Fargo Force up there. And I thought I knew youth hockey because he was playing 16U AAA with the Junior Sabres. And then, you know, I knew the teams around, and Chicago Mission and Little Caesars. And I got to that camp, and I knew nobody on the ice. They were all Minnesota, Minnesota, Minnesota. And I'm like, there's a whole other world of hockey that I have no idea. So what was that like for you, that, you know, that different world that doesn't seem to exist anywhere else?
Yeah, well, just to give some context to what you're saying, like, Minnesota high school, you go to the high school, you play for your high school team. I graduated from my high school. I played all 4 years there. And so you don't like sign up for a travel team. You don't like pay money to play. You just, it's a very organic experience. And it's a really interesting conversation, actually, because I think it's the last place that's like that.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, diminishing to some degree, just given all of the opportunities that are out there. Mm-hmm. Parents, and in 2025, there's so many parents who are so meticulous and detailed with their children's sports that they're like, we need to get them in the best place right now. And I mean, one of the best things for me, and you guys probably see this with your children, but I played baseball, I played football. Mm-hmm. And I just loved life. And then when I got to, it wasn't until I was like a junior where I was like, okay, I need to start taking this more seriously. But it's nothing sadder to me in the world. And again, I'm sure you guys have seen this, when you go to a hockey school and you see a 9-year-old kid who doesn't want to be out there, but his parents really want him to be out there. And it's just like, I chose hockey because I loved it, and I skated every day, and I got free ice every day. Like, that's another great thing about Minnesota, is I would drive my snowmobile to the rink every day and spend 8 hours there.
At what age did you start driving the snowmobile to the
rink? 11, 12, yeah. You know. Yeah. That was just the culture. I didn't know any different, but it's that organic love for the game. And I think, you know, being around NHL players, like, every NHL player has that love for the game. And you just can't force that on kids.
So was the gear at the rink, or did you have to tow it with the snowmobile?
On a sled. That strap and a sled.
For sure. I actually, my parents bought me like a big double seater. You know how the, like, some of them have the second seat in the back, because they were like, it's way too dangerous. You know, we're not going to give them a nice. So, yeah, I had like, you know, I would always carry my gear around. We would go, but that's just how it was,
right.
You know? That's how, I'm sure it's probably like that in some ways around here as well.
For sure.
Smaller towns.
Yeah, smaller towns here, Southern Ontario.
I saw Jay McKee rushing to practice here at this building on a snowmobile one year. We had a snowstorm, and it was before everybody had cell phones, or we had cell phones, but there was no text, and so some guys tried to make it downtown. I tried to make it downtown, and all of a sudden I was on Elmwood or something, and Jay McKee is on a snowmobile trying to get to practice. And then realizing that the practice was canceled when we got here. But yes, like, I've seen professional athletes ride their snowmobile to the rink, so yes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I know you guys know what I'm talking about, growing up in a snowy climate. That's just... My parents owned an ice fishing resort my whole life, so like that was just my life, and I'm really glad I had that experience, not to get overloaded with things.
So, when did goaltending start? Like, we started this off by talking about equipment. What was the first piece of goalie gear that you got?
Yeah, well, like a lot of goalies, I spent, you know, hours of my life on the goalie gear customizers. Loved the gear, was obsessed with the gear. I think. That's probably what gets most guys in the door. And then you just realize like I just understand how to stop the puck, you know, and I didn't have a goalie coach until I was like 18, 19. And again, one of those things where it was like, that's the best thing that ever happened to me, because I just learned how to keep the puck out of the net. I didn't learn how to play an ultra technical game. And now as I get further into my career, I actually go back to that more and more, where it's like, if you just keep the puck out of the net and try to win the game and try to be competitive, like, that's the way. That's really the way.
Did you pay attention to, like, the history of goaltending? And, like, who was your favorite goalie when you grew up?
I loved Hasek. I know that's going to be a little bit of low-hanging fruit, but Patrick Waugh, those were the guys. Broder, you were in there. You were always around.
I was a field guy. But
it's a big list.
It's a big list. I'm like at the bottom. And the reason I'm asking, because we got a poll on at Sabres Live on X right now, and it's, other than Hasek and Miller, who were your favorite Sabres goalie? It's between me, Don Edwards, Tom Barrasso, or others. So I'm going to ask you, like, I voted for Don Edwards, just so you know, but... you know, now that you kind of are here and you understand maybe the history of the Sabres or whatever, who would you say was, other than Hasek and Miller?
I love Barrasso. Yeah. No offense, but
he's leading. He's the leader, almost 60%.
I loved his gear. Loved his gear, and it was just like, I felt like it was just like beat up all the time, you know, kind of, and like, it's like, this guy stopped a million pucks. But I loved those guys. Like, I loved Arturs Urbe because this guy would change his gear once, like, every 4 years, you know. But it's like, I don't know. I just love that, like, grindy mentality. And I think, you know, goalie in 2025 is, like, everybody – you have so many kids, like, wearing custom gear now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how about we just get out there and stop the puck? I love that mentality.
Jamie Storr used to be one that would hang on to the gear and just tweak it and fix it. And just the way you described it, I'm just envisioning what his pads, Barrasso's, like,
you just see, like, the curves, you know, that are all, like, beaten down, and you're just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And now, even, like, he had the bigger, like, Aeroflex for a little bit in Pittsburgh when
in the early 90s
they won the cup, right? Yeah. But when he went butterfly, they didn't flip to the side. He kind of, they were 45-degree angle, and the inside was a lot thinner. Because that's where his knees would always, like, land. So it kind of smashed the inside.
That crease right
there. On that crease. Yeah. It always land on there. But it was – and now, obviously, the pads are made to flip. They're cut out of foam that are, like, cut to measure. They're not stuffed, right? So it's a big difference. So
All right. So what kind of gear are you wearing?
Well, so I was with Vaughn. I was in Vaughn for, like, 8 years. And this year I just went into True. And actually it was – largely, I don't know if you guys know Adam Burkle, but he was with Vaughn forever, and I just had a really good relationship with him. He recently went to True, and I'm more of a I would rather Vaughn guys treated me so well. I love Scotty, but I'm a loyalty guy at the end of the day, and like I couldn't not be with Berkey. He understands me. I'm the kind of guy that's like I don't care about my gear at all. I want to be comfortable, and I don't want to think about it one time.
That was a bit of a equipment. Well, I won't use a word that I may not be able to use on radio, but I had everything. I started with Coho and CCM, and then I had iTech and Vaughn and Bauer, and I had everything. But that's a big change. Vaughn to True, that's a completely different pad. I think Vaughn is obviously a little – they've updated, but it's a little bit more old style, a little softer.
Yeah.
And you have the Hazardous. Is that what you have?
Yeah.
Like, that's a stiff, straight face pad.
I actually really beefed up my Vaughns to get much stiffer. But at the end of the day, as a smaller guy, I'm always trying to find ways to, like we talked about at the beginning, present bigger.
Yeah.
And Vaughn was so good for me because I could, like, contort them in the way that I wanted. But I do find that Vaughn is coming a little bit more to True, and True, you know,
soften it up a little bit.
The E-Flex especially, the Hazardous is a little different, but, you know, it's interesting to see how, like, and now Bauer's kind of, like, gone in their own direction a little bit. So it's interesting to see how they all coalesce over time.
It's amazing. It's just when you like it from the start, like, you never lose the love for all this kind of stuff. Thank you for the insight. Hope you'll come back and join us throughout the season.
Yeah, we got more to talk about.
We
Ice
do.
Fishing Resort.
Yes,
that's,
we really want to get into that, but we know you got to go.
So. Anytime. Thank you guys very much.
There he is, Alex Lyon, who started every game for the Sabres so far this year. And if there is a young Sabres fan in your life who would like exclusive ticket offers, fun gifts, and special event invites, well, you can sign them up for the Sabres Kids Club today. Visit sabres.com/kidsclub. to join in on all the fun this season. So, as far as Buffalo is concerned, you're free to go, Alex. You're good. you know, we can.
I thought we were free to go to commercial. I was almost ready to.
I didn't want to take it too early. Just didn't want to throw off the control room.
That's
here.
All right.
But you know, this week
you threw me a curveball. I'm like, I'm flustered right now.
No.
What I'm doing.
This week, obviously, now I'm bummed that tomorrow's game isn't Thursday, because Thursday's black and red, and I want to see I want to see him.
The mask, too, like he had, I think it's a wrap. Mm-hmm. So it's not a paint, it's a wrap that he's fit over, so we'll take care of the chair later. But yeah, it looked really good, but it is a change. It is a change psychologically for a goaltender to go from light gear to dark gear. Like, that's a big change.
What's the one thing he talked about that likely resonates with me the most? You should know this, knowing me the way I am. It had nothing to do with hockey equipment.
Free ice, playing every sport, riding the snowmobile.
10th grade reading level. I have forever found myself, like, intimidated might be too strong of a word. But, like, I know when I'm around people that, like, are so educated and I'm just, like, in awe of their dedication to learning and learning and learning. And I was just never that student. You know, like,
smart, there's a lot of different things, obviously. But I wasn't sure if he was being sarcastic because, you know, you get to yell and all of a sudden you realize, oh, my goodness. Like, mm-hmm. I thought I was – you know, one of the top kids in my high school, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm not there. But also my good buddy Steve Bégin, who, you know, was here for a little bit and played in the NHL,
briefly.
Calgary and whatnot.
Yes.
He's a spokesperson for dyslexia in Montreal because he's had to deal with that for his whole life. So that's, you know, you never know with athletes, right? They all look the same on the ice, but you do have some that are dealing with their own personal challenges, and that's what it is.
And then, from a team standpoint, dealing with the challenge of an 0-3 start. And we were just talking about the one thing that you want to fix right off the top of the show.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know,
there's multiple things.
But the power play is the biggest, right, in your opinion?
The power play is the biggest because you're looking at the games. It's a 1-0 game to the Rangers. It's a, you know, 2-1 game to Boston. Yesterday it's 3-1, but you have multiple opportunities to maybe keep it close or at 1-1 to take a lead. So that's why the power play is so big for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, offense has obviously not been easy to create. You look at the scoring chances, you look at, you know, the Sabres, most of their scoring chances in the game yesterday came from a point shot deflection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not talking about set plays. You're not talking about backdoor plays. You're not talking about 2-on-1s and, you know, cut to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And Tage Thompson's goal is from, you know, 65 feet away. Like, that's why it's hard to focus on other things right now.
Right.
And saying, you know what, how do you build confidence in offense? Usually it starts with the power play.
Yep.
Your power play gets going, everybody's feeling confident about offensive skills.
Well, maybe it looks different tomorrow based on changes in practice today. We'll update you on that and have lots more from a busy weekend around the NHL next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, between Megan Chayka's appearance on the broadcast yesterday and Alex Lyon's incredible ability and ease with which he speaks, I'd say you're on thin ice.
I did say that last night, didn't I? When, like, by the way, I had some guy on X, basically, it was a French tweet, but he said, when Megan is speaking so nicely about numbers and whatever, I'm sure Marty is like thinking of food or whatever. It was like, but like, no, I know what she's talking about. And we had conversation about it because of the actual model that most websites will use to factor in expected goals. But when it comes to guys like Tage Thompson, like, do you have to adjust the model? And she's like, absolutely. And she was so excited about talking about it,
mm-hmm.
which was great. And yes, we'll have Megan on Saturday as well.
Yep.
Pre-game, first intermission, and second intermission probably on Saturday.
15 games this year. Looking very much forward to her continued contributions. From a Sabres standpoint, and Ottawa is here tomorrow, and there's a big story coming out of Canada's mm-hmm. capital as it pertains to Brady Tkachuk. But from a Sabres standpoint, Benson skated with Tage and Tuck at practice today. So he was out there. Will he play tomorrow? Not sure yet. Samuelson was not out there, despite the coach having what he felt was a positive update on Samuelson's status yesterday. Greenway, along with Benson, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen were all out on the ice today. So at the very least, there are some that are progressing in, you know, down the path of helping this club, and yet when you look at the lines and how they were constructed today, Jiří Kulík did not find himself on one of the top four lines.
Yeah, so obviously, Jiří is still a young player, and you know there's some growing pains there. I just don't see him involve physically in the battle as much. He did have a good chance on the back end yesterday, but it was kind of like one of those where...
Remember, he was hurt in camp too, though,
he
right?
was hurt in camp too, you're right. And then he hit himself in the face with a stick in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but Benson had a blue, baby blue jersey on, and you could see the pictures on, you know, Instagram or on X. So that is that he's still recovering, but I mean, tomorrow he could easily be in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
He was wearing the full shield, a full visor, the bubble visor on, but he looked good. He was skating well. He had a couple of goals. I didn't want to tell Alex that, but Benson went short side right by the ears, bar down on one of the play. It was really nice. So, you know, Thompson still in the middle and Tuck on the right. I felt like Thompson and Tuck got some good looks yesterday, but there needs to be more. Maybe Benson brings in that energy. Now, after that, everything is all, you know, change. You got Zucker, McLeod, and Doan.
And that, and which could be good for McLeod because of Doan's energy. And I think McLeod has to be one that is talked about more here too, right?
Yeah, McLeod needs to provide some offense and provide some speed and some pace into the game. I feel like Josh Doan has been as advertised and it's been really good. So he's one of the bright spots right now. And Zucker's an experienced guy that maybe that provides the support to the Thompson line you need. Quinn, Jack, I mean, I've been high on Jack Quinn coming into training camp. I want to see him shoot. I want to see him confident with the puck. So right now it's looking like he's going to go with Krebs and Danforth. That leaves Don Kozak and Malenstein, who started the game yesterday. It was a really good start, forechecking in the zone. So that line, I mean, that's their role. They'd be, you know, putting time in the offensive zone, be hard to play against. Now everybody else has got to bring some offense. Although this season has started very much like last year in the way that last year was a 4-1, 3-1, 3-1 loss the first three games. This year it's 4-0, 3-1, 3-1. Very similar. Can it turn around? Yes. Did they find themselves playing 500 by the end of November last year and looking to take a step? Yes. So, I mean, it's still early, but it's just the lack of offense and the lack of opportunities and the lack of flow is the one thing that's hard.
And now it's Ottawa tomorrow, and Brady Tkachuk left the game yesterday with what looked like a right wrist injury, and now it's deemed that he will miss significant time, at least 4 weeks, and this is a crusher of an injury for Ottawa, who are also off to a little bit of a slow start at 1-2. Their team save percentage is the lowest in the NHL. They were better defensively yesterday in their loss to Nashville. Yep. The Predators pumped in two empty netters to make it a 4-1 game. But Tkachuk was obviously really unimpressed with the push by Josi into the boards that that left him shaking the right wrist.
So it was not a hit from behind. It was a little bit of a positional push. But I think Brady Tkachuk wasn't expecting to get a push. He's like 7-8 feet away from the boards.
Or maybe
he's
looking
at the puck. No, it was Josi on the back.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was looking at the puck, trying to come in and make a play, and then he lost his balance, put his hands up to brace the fall, and obviously did something to his right wrist, and he'll miss significant time. Even in the scrum after, you saw it on MSG right now, he was shaking his hand. That didn't look good.
No, and Ottawa is 1-2 after the loss, and Shane Pinto is really the offense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For them right now. He has four goals and puts him one behind Pavel Dorofeev for the league lead.
Although they thought they had scored a goal yesterday that was taken away.
Take us
so do you
this.
Want to go in a little bit of early season issues that I have right now? There's been four coaches challenged for goalie interference so far this year. And they're all very, very gray area type of goaltender interference because all three of the calls that were deemed to be no goal was very little contacts. And in the flow of the game, I really didn't feel that it was one. So let's start with Philadelphia and Carolina on Saturday night. Overtime, Travis Sanheim comes in, right? He's driving wide. He's attacking the net. He makes a play on the goaltender. His speed actually carries him through the crease a little bit, makes contact with Freddie Anderson. Bobby Brink comes in, scores. Flyers win. Game over. Not so fast. Let's look at this because it is automatically reviewed by the league in overtime. They look at it. They say contact was made in the crease. Therefore, we have no goal on the play. Carolina comes back and scores and wins in an OT. I'm looking at that play, Duffer, and I'm like, that's just a hockey play. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a, I'm trying to hit the goalie. It was, you know, the ice was available for both team, both players, Sanheim and Anderson. Do I think the league is trying to make it very clear inside the crease, outside the crease? Potentially. Mm-hmm. So now...
I like the call, by the way.
Okay, if it's going to be called that way, I don't have a problem with it. Now, last night, Nashville, Ottawa, mm-hmm. you have a moment where Tim Stützle is right around the top of the crease. He makes a little contact with the left arm of Jussi Saros, completely away from the play, not impacting the play at all. The Ottawa Senators score... Saros, as a good veteran, throws himself out like, ah, I got interfered. And the goal is called on the play. Nashville challenges for goalie interference, and it got called back. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't like that call at all. And I know the contact was in the blue paint, but it was not impacting the goalie's positioning. And you're going to say, okay, but if we start to break it down and was it impacting the goalie or not impacting or whatnot, it's in the blue paint, as contact, we're calling it no goal. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was weak. So that was two of them. There was one that Dean Evason, and I didn't tell our producer, Sam, to pull that one, but Dean Evason, in a 7-4 win of Columbus against Minnesota, he was not happy. It went against Columbus. Uh-huh. He challenged. He thought there was contact on Merzlikins. Yeah. They counted a goal. His face was purple on the bench. Purple. So because he had gotten a one a couple days later with Mathieu Olivier.
Yes.
Was small contact with Jussi Saros. Mm-hmm. Again, feels like the veteran goaltenders know what to do. But anyway, there was four, and all four of them, I could have flipped a coin and said either way.
Yeah, well, it was unprecedented victory for Columbus in Minnesota, 7-4. Allegedly, this was the first time the Jackets have ever won a road game while allowing four power play goals against. And they're in good company because Minnesota's power play is steamrolling the NHL right now. They're 8-for-17 as they rebounded yesterday and then almost gave it all away. They had to win in a shootout after having a 3-0 lead on the Kings, and Rossi got the shootout goal.
Jesper Wallstedt, he was...
Well, so here's the thing. Like, Wallstedt has been okay. I think he's very self-critical, too. So he's still trying to leave last year behind him in the AHL and establish himself in the NHL. And then we have old friend Linus Ullmark, for example. Like, Linus was good yesterday, 30 saves, two empty netters in Nashville. But the small sample size here to start the year is really tough to look at. He's at .407 and .842 for save percentage, and he comes in, and we often talk about Ullmark and just what it's going to look like, and he doesn't have a veteran in Forsberg
That's
as his backup
thing.
This
That's
year.
That's the thing. Linus Ullmark with Jeremy Swayman in Boston, Vezina Trophy, great. And then in Ottawa, well, you have Anton Forsberg, but also last year I felt like Levi Mäkinen came in, played some really good minutes, mm-hmm. allowed for Ullmark to kind of get himself going and recover from a little injury. But this year, everybody's saying, including me, that for Ottawa to be in the playoffs again, they're going to need 55 to 60 games out of Linus Ullmark. He's never played 50 games in the NHL.
Right.
You know, I think mm-hmm. his most was 49.
Yep.
So he's going to need to do it, and I think that's putting a little bit more pressure on him to be good early so that he can play the amount of games that they're going to need him to.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff on Yuri Kulik and him not being on one of the top four lines today. The quote, "It hasn't been good enough. He needs to be a better player for us." Did not say for sure that Kulik would be scratched tomorrow, but it's a possibility. Now, if Benson gets through today's practice and feels good, there's a chance he'll play tomorrow. Greenway and Lukanen are still going to need at least a few more practices. And it's interesting, they haven't ruled out a rehab assignment in Rochester for Lukanen. So,
okay.
And by the way, yesterday's
opponent, he's only played 20 minutes of hockey so far. Like
and by the way, we didn't get to see Mackenzie Blackwood yesterday with Colorado. He hasn't played yet this year, but he's going to be with the Colorado Eagles for a little bit. He may not, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to play a game there. It's just the Avs are in the East for 5 days, playing Buffalo and then Columbus on Thursday.
Practicing.
Blackwood's going to practice back there and, you know, try to get himself in the mix. Wedgwood's been a really nice, obviously, early season story. And just lastly on the Sabres, Kesselring still has not resumed skating yet, but he is getting closer to that point.
And, you know, I think with Michael Kesselring, there is definitely an aspect of he will help. He will help in a lot of different ways.
Well, what a rotating door here. I mean, between Power and Samuelson and not having Kesselring at all. Like, this does not look at all how it was envisioned. Yes, the penalty kill is 11 for 11.
Well, the penalty kill with Owen Power filling in for Samuelson yesterday, and Lindy Ruff was quick to mention that he liked Power's game on the penalty kill. But, you know what? Like, right now, it's about the power play, and it's about 5-on-5, especially trying to create offense 5-on-5. I mean, well, Megan Chayka said yesterday, it seems like the Sabres have put this emphasis on, you know, giving up less goals and defending and being better. And the natural instinct would be to think, well, maybe that's hampering your offense. But I still believe that when you have the puck, making a 25-foot pass has nothing to do with how you play defensively in the structure. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, maybe there is some wrinkle of where is my guy now that we are changing our system. But that's where the problem has been, is the connecting. You're in the offensive zone. You see somebody open in the slot. Put it on his tape so that he can shoot it right away, not in his feet or not behind, so then all of a sudden there's no chance. That's the biggest thing for me is, you know, a guy like Kesselring, maybe that takes away the we have to be so much better defensively because he brings that naturally with his positioning.
And incredibly, in both games over the weekend, in Boston Saturday and yesterday against Colorado, there were glorious missed opportunities where Buffalo is just missing the net, like missing open looks. Tage Thompson, Jacob Bryson among them yesterday.
Peyton Krebs had a good chance against Boston.
Owen Power had the great chance against Boston, too, when he came down, right, after coming out of the penalty box, all that. So,
Two-on-one, and he missed a net.
Right. So those are misses that become more glaring. We are going to take a quick break, get into Dazzled and Disturbed, and much more still on the first installment of Sabres Live this week. Back in a moment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We all have our favorites. Time for Dazzled and Disturbed. And the guy who dazzles me most often, especially at one of the great bargain rates in the NHL, $3.85 million for this year and next, Kirill Marchenko. He is right on the cusp of leading the NHL in goal scoring. He is one behind Pavel Dorofeev. He's got four on the year, had a trick in Minnesota, scored again last night. I was so bummed when he missed time due to injury last year.
Yes.
I love it.
And it was a freak injury. He got hit with a puck on the bench. He broke his jaw, like sitting on the bench.
But he is just so fun for me to watch. So appreciate the early season efforts of he. Marty, did you know that there are eight teams right now in the NHL who still have a zero in the regulation loss column?
Okay.
Incredibly, one of them is the most disturbing team that I have watched so far.
Yes.
And their name is the San Jose Sharks.
They should be 2-0.
They should be 2-0. they maybe should be 0-2 based on you should not be rewarded with a point for how you have surrendered your first two games.
Disturbing.
Oh, my goodness. So if it wasn't bad enough that Nedeljkovic allowed that center ice bomb
to Jack
lob Eichel. From Eichel and then lose it in overtime when he created the mess, they were up by two late
6-4,
against
right?
Anaheim, and it imploded again, and they would go on to lose 7-6 in overtime, this time with Mrazek in goal. Or, sorry, Mrazek for the Ducks, this time
Askarov.
With Askarov in goal, and it was tough to watch from a tender standpoint.
It was really tough to watch because I felt like Askarov was playing street hockey, like the old, like, Wayne's World, like, and Garth is in net, and he's like, I don't know where I'm looking, and the puck is not hitting me. And it was just hard to watch. And, you know, San Jose, they got Celebrini, they got Smith, they got Miso, who's going to make his
debut tonight.
Like, they got young players, but they're learning to lose right now, and that's tough. But, okay, here's my dazzle and disturb for today. And it comes from the same spot, the New York Islanders.
Mm.
I am being dazzled by Matthew Schaefer.
Sure.
First overall pick last year, 18 years old, barely played last season. Broke his collarbone, you know, at the World Juniors, did not play for the Erie Otters for the second half. He played almost 27 minutes of ice time yesterday. And there's the part that's so dazzling is that all five other defensemen did not break the 17-minute mark.
Amazing.
He played 27 minutes, 10 more minutes than any other defenseman on the Islanders roster. That was dazzling. Disturbed Ilya Sorokin. Ugh, that was tough. And the Islanders, we still have not found any points. Just like the Sabres, they're the only team that doesn't have a point in the standings right now.
Yeah.
But I am dazzling. Dazzled by Schaefer, disturbed by the Islanders.
Rangers don't have any goals on home ice. They've been shut out twice. That's kind of funny. The Rangers were on the wrong end of this 19 years ago against the Sabres. Remember the ice storm in October
Detroit.
And how Buffalo came home from Detroit and amazing performance early on. All apologies to Kevin Weeks. That's a new dad again. Kevin Weeks, as he was in for all seven in a 7-4 Buffalo win led by a Chris Drury hat trick.
You know what? Weeks is awesome. His best contribution to this world is probably what he does on social media and on TV. But the best contribution he had for the Rangers is that because of games like this, it led the way for Henrik Lundqvist to take over and have a Hall of Fame career with the New York Rangers. But yes, we came back from Detroit after the October snowstorm, and this was the first home game after that. The fans were crazy in the building because they had been fixing up their yards and their houses and no electricity for most of the day. Some people didn't even see the game, so they got tickets to come in. That was an unbelievably fun game to be a part of, and Drury was awesome against the team that he's now the president and GM of.
Miller got the win. We, of course, asking on social today.
Weeks, he ends up in the net more than anybody else.
Beyond Hasek and Miller, who's the best goalie in Sabres history, you can continue to answer that. And we'll have more questions and maybe even more answers tomorrow heading in on a game day for the Sabres and Sens here at KeyBank Center.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.